You know, sometimes that bothers people. Well, then all of life must bother you because science doesn't have all the answers. We've gotten in this last year to this phrase, just trust the science. Let me tell you something. Science doesn't have all the answers. And I'm not anti-science. I'm just honest. If you want to have all the answers, good luck with that. We live in an imperfect, fallen world, and yet the hand of God is there among us. And often we can't see it. Yet his hand is on you, even in the difficulties. There's a poem about a person walking, they have a dream, and they're walking on the beach, and they see two sets of footprints, and then they only see one. And it's because they're walking with Jesus, and they go, Lord, when I went through a difficulty in life, you disappeared. And Jesus says, no, I picked you up and carried you. But oftentimes we think he's not there. I know I have. I've sometimes said, Lord, where are you? It's a difficult, difficult question. And there's the issue of gleaning. And she entered the fields and began to glean behind the harvesters. And it turned out, it was a wild coincidence. No, God's hand was with Naomi when she lost her husband and sons. God's hand was with Naomi when Ruth and her went back. And God's hand is still with them when they just happened, because it's not just a happenstance. The text says this as a, yeah, it just so happens. But we know the hand of God is there. And gleaning. Gleaning was an important part in that culture, in that religion. You know, I always get a little frustrated when people say, God hates religion. Well, if you read the book of James, it says the only true religion is taking care of widows and orphans. And if you hate that, we're all in the wrong church. We're reading the wrong Bible. And their religion, this is what religion, here's what it told them in Deuteronomy. This was an expectation. This was a command to the farmer, the harvester, the government, the individual. When you're harvesting your field and you overlook a sheaf, that'd be a bundle of grain. Don't go back and get it. I mean, because that'd be prudent, right? If you're picking your tomatoes and you still got some left, you go back and get them. He goes, no. Leave it for the foreigner. That'd be Ruth. And even Naomi was, in a sense, a foreigner because she had no family left. The fatherless and the widow. Leave it. So they can glean it, which means come back and pick up after you. Don't pick it dry. Leave blessings for others, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. And just for those that are just a little too woodenly literal, oh, he says do it for the grains, but I got olives. He doesn't say for olives. When you beat the olives from your tree, that's how they clear the trees. Do not go over a branch a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the father, fatherless, and the widow. Well, I don't have olives. I don't have grain. I have grapes, so I don't have to worry about this. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over them the second time. Excuse me. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. This is the loving kindness of God for those who are in need. And he says, you be the same way. Wasn't always done. In fact, a lot of these rules, these regulations, these religious requirements, like feed the poor, take care, forgive debt. You know, every 7 years they were supposed to let the land rest. And then after seven sevens, that'd be the 49th year, you let it rest. And then you take off Jubilee the 50th year. That's 2 years of no work. 2 years. Could you imagine if someone said, don't work for 2 years and God's going to take care of you? And they never had the faith to do it. They didn't let people glean. They didn't follow their rules to be blessed. It was expected. It was commanded. And like so many things, was forgotten. And sometimes what's odd is God uses the non-person, the non-Israelite, the non-Christian to show us how it's done. Because what we see, we'll see who Ruth is. And as I said, just then, what a coincidence again. Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters, and he said, God be with you. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they answered. And hence we have that liturgical tradition. God be with you, and also with you. And what does it mean for God to bless you? To God to be with you? A two-car garage? You know, the norm in some neighborhoods is now three. I told you a few weeks ago about the pastor. I think he's a pastor, but he monitors the tennis shoes that other pastors wear. So if I can wear $4,000 tennis shoes, is God with me? That was the high end. What about $1,000 pair of tennis shoes? I personally wouldn't wear $1,000 a pair of tennis shoes. I'd be scared to scuff them. I tease my kids because I didn't like it. If you get white tennis shoes, how do you wear them? You can't keep them white. They get dirty. And they look so nice when they're new and bright, but I'm not going to wear a pair of $1,000 tennis shoes. I'd be scared. You know, who wants to wear them out? This is not Italian leather, don't worry. I think it's Payless shoe leather, I don't know. And there's nothing wrong with wearing nice clothes. But does that mean God's with you? That everything will be okay? So then somebody asks you how you're doing, you say, I'm blessed, the Lord's with me. That is part of it. I would say God wants to bless us. He anoints us. You know, you read the 23rd Psalms that our cup overflows, that we have more than we know what to do with. And then the expectation is we'd give a lot of it away and not just hoard it. There's nothing wrong with saving for retirement, having a savings account for a rainy day, but not to hoard, to bless and give out. But I would say God is even with us through the most difficult time. As I have preached over and over again, when most of us look back on our life, the great holidays, the families all there, weddings, anniversaries, celebrations, the job promotion, the raise, and we see the hand of God and His blessing. But also when we look back at the funerals, deaths, some Christmas holidays where there was more of this than hugging, the job that didn't turn out. I still remember leaving Minneapolis and getting my job in Amarillo, and you know, it was like, oh, it's a blessing, I'm getting this great job, I'm moving across the country, and it was really an exciting opportunity. And one lady said, remember everybody I talked to, one lady said, do you know what you're getting yourself into? She was the only warning I had. And I got down there, and with a week I was like, what did I get myself into? And I look back on that, and I could be bitter, like, God, why'd you let me do that? And it was difficult. Oh, it was hard, 3 years at that job. But when I look back at that, I see the hand of God moving in my life. We see it in hindsight. At the time, I was a little ticked. I griped and complained a lot. I didn't like what was happening to me. It was not what I expected. It really wasn't what I expected. Couldn't find friends. I remember, I literally still remember this day. I went to visit a church, and I liked it. And I sat up like up in the front in the first four or five chairs. And a few people said hello to me, and so when it was over, I decided to leave, and I decided to meander around the chairs to the back to meet someone, and no one talked with me. I mean, no one. That was a weird experience. Lord, where were you? Where were your wonderful church-going people, Lord? I mean, I bathed. I'd brush my teeth. I was wearing decent clothes. And I kid you not, not one person talked to me. Later on, I had somebody tell me, well, Doug, you weren't smiling. Seriously, told me that. What do you say to that? Yeah, I was lonely, I was bitter, I was struggling. I was wondering, where are you, Lord? And in many ways, I think sometimes God had his hand in that. He's working on me. He was pushing me. Doug, are you here for this? Are you really in it? Are you going to be here even when it's not good? Hey, I played football. I love sports analogies. Football season is really never over. And this year with COVID, the FCS championship is tomorrow. So football never ends now for real. But there are certain people you want to have in the fourth quarter. And there's other people, you know, in the fourth quarter, they're not going to be there. Tomorrow is tax day, so I can make a tax accountant analogy. Some people don't make it to tax day. You know that if they're on the job and, you know, you've gotten through March and it's April and it's the last 2 weeks, you can't count on them. And there's other people, you know they'll be there till April 15th, midnight. They're there with you. I think God was like, Doug, I want to know if you're going to be there in the fourth quarter. I want to know if you're going to be there till midnight on April 15th. God was with me. Even in that, God was with me. Boaz asked the overseers, who does this young woman belong to? And you know what the first thing they said? She's a foreigner. She's a Moabite. That's like when I moved to Amarillo. Who's he? He's from Michigan. I was really from North Dakota and Minnesota. I don't know how they got Michigan. But I wasn't from there, and they let everybody else know it. He's from Michigan. You know, at a certain point, I didn't even argue anymore. It's just, it was north of Oklahoma. I'm a Yankee. Yeah. He's a Yankee. And they said, she said, please let me glean and gather among you. Okay, let's be honest. Why did Boaz notice her? You know, at first, like, oh, it's a cute young girl. It doesn't say that, but Boaz is a human, and this issue will come up later. But Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go glean another field. Don't go stay here. You know, don't let the men bother you. So, you know, guys, I've worked in an all-men's shop, and I've worked in, well, I'd say all women's, but obviously it includes me. Predominantly women's group, and they're different. I mean, you can walk into the bathroom and you can tell if it's an all men's office or plant or an all women's. Men and women are different. And men were no different back then. When Boaz is gone, some of them were probably pretty rude and crude. But she goes, don't let them lay a hand on you. When you're thirsty, get water from these that my men have filled. You don't have to walk all the way. So here's Ruth. She leaves her home. She goes with her mother-in-law. She has to go glean and basically beg for food. And suddenly, it becomes obvious God is with her. She bowed down her face to the ground and said, I'm getting what I deserve finally. No. She asked, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? She's humble. She doesn't expect it. She doesn't say, this is mine, you know. I've done that. Sometimes we've all done it. Lord, I'm serving you. Why is this happening? And again, we don't really know why she's willing to follow Naomi. I think literally she must have loved Naomi. I think she became a follower of Yahweh, the Israelite God. She's like, you are God. I think she became a true believer. Why else would you do that? And we get the answer. I think, yes, she's cute. I think Boaz is looking at her and says, she's nice. But he says, I've been told all of what you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of her husband and your husband. How you left your father, your mother, your homeland and came to live with these people. Excuse me. May the Lord repay you for what you have done, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. She followed God. God was with her the whole time. We just didn't see it. And finally, it's like a seed in the ground that you don't know it's there, and suddenly it erupts and the plant breaks forth. When the spring, my little pots to put out in the garden, I put my cucumbers. One day there's, you know, for a week there's nothing, and suddenly the cucumber breaks through and you can see the leaf bud forth. And this is how it's like suddenly God is revealing himself. And she goes, may I continue to find favor in your eyes? Because I don't even have the standing of one of your servants. You know, you have like the people, the servants, and then people like me, the foreigner, the fatherless, the widow. She was bottom of the totem pole. And she had put herself in that position. And then at mealtime, Boaz calls her over, handles her extra food. She carries it back to town to her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law is like, where did you glean today? Like, you don't get this much. It's like going to the grocery store and expecting to come home with a bag of groceries, and the trunk is full. And Ruth told her mother-in-law about everything that happened. And then she tells the name of the man who worked, Boaz. And the Lord bless him, Naomi said. He has not stopped showing us his kindness, his loving kindness. This is what Naomi had said about Orpha and Ruth, the way they loved and cared for her. His kindness to the living and the dead. This man is our close relative. He's our guardian redeemer, and we'll get into more of that next week. Then Ruth the Moabite, and it stresses again, she's the Moabite, said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until the finish of the harvesting of all my grain. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed. They acknowledge it's dangerous. She's saying, stick with this guy. We found a relative, someone to look out for us. What have been dire circumstances, losing family, traveling alone, and suddenly there's light at the end of the tunnel and it's not a train. So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. We see this term has said come out in the first chapter of Ruth, that they showed loving kindness to Naomi. Now we see it of Boaz. Has said this loving kindness is action. It is being hands and feet of God, not just talk. The book of James talks about what good is if you say, bless you and be warm. Imagine Boaz going up to Ruth and say, the Lord be with you. And Ruth said, the Lord be with you. And he walked away. I mean, you can't help everyone. It's true. But she was there. And he had heard about her. So he didn't just say, the Lord be with you. There was action to his words. It's to deliver someone from dire straits. Naomi was in dire straits. Can you imagine this elderly woman? I mean, she's not the one going to glean. She probably has arthritis, probably has a bad knee, and their hip replacements and their knee replacements weren't much of that back in those days. It was called a cane. She didn't go. There's a reason she didn't go, because if she could, she would have. And she was going to walk home alone, maybe some 100 miles. And Ruth shows her loving kindness and goes with her. It's action. It's generally from those who are able to those who are unable to help themselves. What do we see over and over about the grape field, the olive field, the wheat field? The foreigner, the fatherless, the widow, those who are without, those who can't help themselves. Now, many of you repeat this.
I won't work harder on someone else's problem than they will. You know, when you start helping people, sometimes it's like, if you don't want to help yourself, that's fine. Don't expect me to do it for you. And that's true. In fact, the Bible, you know, if someone's unwilling to work, you don't really help them. That's one thing if you can't. Naomi couldn't. Ruth could. And Ruth was. But she was still the foreigner. It wasn't like she's going to work her up that way to general manager. That wasn't a possibility. It's like going to work at Chili's and you're going to bus tables for the rest of your life. Could you imagine being 25 and like, I'm bussing tables today and I'll be bussing tables when I'm 70. That's a bleak outlook. I mean, I went to graduation yesterday. Nobody said there, I'm going to bus tables. Hallelujah. Till retirement. Not one person said that. Welders, mechanical engineers, lawyers, but no table bussers. That was Ruth. She was in dire straits. She was at the bottom of the totem pole, and there was no affirmative action programs for her. And this is said, this is voluntarily. It's not like you're compelled, well, I guess I gotta help somebody. If you're going to make me, Lord, I'll do it. I don't want to, and I want everybody to know I don't want to, but I want everybody to know I'm doing it. I'm going to help the poor now. I want you all to know about it. I'm going to help someone. I'm going to write a big check, okay? I want you all to know. Oh, I hate this. I don't want to do it. No, that's not what a sad loving kindness is. It's Jesus says, you don't let the left hand know what the right hand is doing. It's voluntary. It's extraordinary. It is going out of your way. It is. I mean, Boaz really went out of his way to help her. And he said, I heard what you've done. I mean, it's like, wow, this is bizarre. I mean, here's the Moabite women showing the Israelites how loving kindness, compassion, chesed works. The foreigner was showing them how it works. And then Boaz jumps in too. She probably was being harassed in the field by the other workers because Boaz seems to pick up on that, knows how men are. I'm not men bashing. People are people. He's taking care of her. He's showing her because he realized she was the shining example. She's the foreigner and she's a better Israelite than the Israelite. She's a reflection of chesed, loving kindness. Chesed, loving kindness, then is taking the Lord with us to others, to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We are all called to show this loving kindness to those around us, even when things are ugly. A few weeks ago, I pointed out that pastor in Canada, and he had police officers visiting his church, and I was real honest, I didn't like his response to them. It was very rude, it wasn't Christ-like, and I stand by that opinion. But also, he was arrested now. I don't think that's right. I just think it's draconian the way the Canadian government is teaching, reaching some of these Christians. And in spite of that, if that happens to us, and some people are going to want to get revenge and be mean-spirited in return, no. We're called to still respond in loving kindness and chesed. The last year has shown a lot of polarization. Red states, blue states. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of rumors. Like, why didn't Kansas get more of the vaccine at first? Because we didn't. Well, it's because we had a blue governor and we had a red president. Well, why couldn't our family use our plane tickets to go to Florida, a red state, Texas, a red state, because we had a blue governor? So I'm blaming the red ones and the blue ones. Was it all politics? I don't know. I was really ticked off, though, because we couldn't travel because they were on the quarantine list, Florida and Texas. That's where we wanted to go. I don't know. But I know this. There's a lot of this. And some of it's warranted. I mean, believe me, I have my own political opinions. And I hold them quite strongly. But you know what I'm supposed to hold stronger? Loving kindness. It doesn't mean you roll over. Doesn't mean you give up. And I've heard politicians say this, and even though they don't live by it, it means when they go low, we still go high. You know, it's the old joke. If you're getting in a fight with a pig in the mud, you both get muddy, but they like it. And if we like it, that's a problem. I can honestly tell you I've gotten pretty muddy sometimes because I've fallen right into it. It happens. But we're called to have loving kindness. This is a big part of this. Ruth is the Moabite. It says it over and over. She's the foreigner. It talks over and over about the fatherless, the widow, and gleaning. And yet, who is the first person to demonstrate this incredible loving kindness of God to the Israelites before Boaz? The foreigner. I think she was a follower of Yahweh, and I think she got it better than the locals. In a time of turmoil, let us never turn our back on politics or the homeless. No. Let us go full forward with the love of Christ, be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ, and let's do it in such a loving way. As Jesus said, even if they hate us, they can't slander us because we acted so above reproach and with such loving kindness, they have to lie to slander us. Let us show to a world that is in deep need and the love and power of Jesus Christ His true loving kindness that He has given to us and that we are called in to give out to those around us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, let us live to the challenge of these words today. Lord, You are such a loving, kind God that Your hand is always with us even when we don't see it. And Ruth got that and lived it out. Boaz got that and lived it out. Lord, You are a God that loves us and cares for us. Even those in the midst of darkness and dire straits today, Lord, that are out there, let them know You are with them, Father. Let us be able as a people to bless them and show them Your loving kindness. And let them not forget You, Lord, but to remain faithful to You even through the difficult times. Lord, let us live out Your loving kindness that we know You are with us. And then we can bless those others in the same way. We pray this in Your holy name. Amen.